the winning sound of Network Sports.
And a very pleasant good evening to you, and welcome to another very special edition of Mason and Guests, heard on Voice of Barbados. You can call us at 441790. You can send a WhatsApp to 253-4679 or an email to cricketmason@yahoo.com. Mason and Guests is brought in association with the good friends at ASF White Rum, the best shot of the day.
ASF White Rum. If anybody feel they could drink with me, let them come. Open your mouth, drink it up, or you can't qualify to sing this song. Tell me, bartender, ASF is the best shot of the day. Boy, pa 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 da 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 pa 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 da da. Say what you want.
All right, well, tomorrow morning, just around 6 o'clock Eastern Caribbean time, the West Indies up against England at Lord's, the first test. And of course, we're going to be focusing on that. We look at the possible squad. I note with interest Red Spurrier this afternoon talking about his 11 for the match. And I'm sure that we're going to be hearing from you as well. You got, as usual, an esteemed panel to look at the test match. Interesting enough, in terms of win predictor, I just had a look at it just before I came. It's saying 83% England, 8% the West Indies, and the possibility of a draw 9. Well, well, well. So that's what it is in terms of the win predictor. Many people would think that England would have a good chance, but you never know. Cricket is a funny game. Shamar Joseph not had a lot of cricket in recent times, but let's hope that he goes very, very well. A couple of other things. The Under-19. Yeah, that's the Under-19 tournament starting in St. Vincent tomorrow, and we're looking forward to hearing from Mr. Dougal James, the president of that association. Of course, he might have been out having a wonderful time as well, because it's Carnival Tuesday there in St. Vincent and the Grenadines. And I understand he's a bit of a party man. Just before I go to my panel, I've got some concerns in relation to our local cricket. Now, I note with interest on the weekend, Lords not able to field a team against Windwards. They were at home. And we also had a situation on the weekend where UWI did not play in the Division One competition, because the Stumps and the Bales could not be found. Now, that's interesting. I spoke to the manager of the side only today. You know, he's the coach, actually, Errol Barrow. What a name to have. And he couldn't offer an explanation as far as that is concerned. So it meant that UWI, a team that we look up to, on the weekend, no Stumps, no Bales. Now, somebody needs to explain what happened there. And as a result, the Windward side of St. Philip, they would have got those 20 points without even bowling a ball. And up at my club, St. Catharines, I'm very concerned up at Bayfield as well, because I note with interest that on Sunday, the police manager actually had to umpire. The official umpire didn't turn up, and you know, when St. Catharines, they were on the field, they just had 11 players. And, you know, somebody went off and they were fielding with 10. So it is good, of course, to bring the commentaries on the weekend. I'm happy Stephen Leslie doing a wonderful job. But I think we have to have a conversation about local cricket in Barbados. Mr. Conde Riley and your wonderful board of directors, cricket is not well in Barbados. There are challenges. And I'm hoping that those responsible will come together very soon and discuss it, because the reality is that teams are struggling in Barbados to even find 11 cricketers to put on the park, as they would say. And I've got my concerns about it. I mean, what happened at Lord's? What happened at UWI? What's happened up at St. Catharines? In fact, it's the first time I've ever gone to Bayfield, and we had, what, two or three spectators there. So that's a big concern of mine. And it's something that we need to look at. Truth is not always popular, but truth is always right. And some people get very upset when you look at these things, but as I always say, fear of criticism is the kiss of death in the courtship of achievement. So, the BCA, government, all those responsible, there's some problems in our cricket and we've got to solve them. All right, I've done a lot of talking. We've got an esteemed panel. I note with interest Don Topley is with us. Don, how are you? Are you still in Barbados, Don?
No, sadly not. I'm back at home. There's a change of government. The weather hasn't changed. It's miserable.
Oh, my God.
We are hoping, fingers crossed, that the next couple of days will be a bit better, less rain forecast. But my word, let me tell you, my garden is green as old boots. We have had an amazing amount of water. We, Lords even had, in 24 hours, what? 44 millimetres.
What?
So the groundsman, Carl McDermott, at Lords, has been challenged in the preparation in the lead up to this test match.
Oh, okay. Well, it was certainly good to have you in Barbados. You're back home. You would have maybe got home in time to vote. You've got a new government, et cetera, et cetera. So in terms of cricket starting tomorrow, you've got your doubts, given the weather situation there, Don?
No, I think we'll be fine. I've just literally, prior to coming on with you, just looked at the five-day forecast. There could be some showers Friday or Saturday, but the conclusion on Sunday, the fifth day, should be not interrupted, but actually days one and two, Wednesday and Thursday, I think we'll see a full day's play. But the weather lately, today has been mizzle and drizzle all day in the south of England. And for me, what we're seeing is the Carl McDermott, the head groundsman at Lords, has just not been able to get the covers off perpetually. And actually work on the ground. So it might be just a little bit unprepared. It wouldn't surprise me that both teams will look to bowl tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And importantly, England's bowlers, well, most of them have got overs in their legs. Maybe not as many as the West Indian bowlers. I mean, you know, Jason Holder's coming back from injury. I noticed they've announced their side. You've got some good bowlers. But if you win the toss tomorrow and you bowl, the West Indies bowlers will have to pitch it up a little bit more than they normally do. And I think that's really important. They've got to be smart and they've got to be disciplined. And on wickets that do a little bit, you have to be patient. As a bowler, don't expect to knock the top order over, but just be a little bit patient and actually wear the opposition down by bowling good lines, good areas, and keep the ball pitched up.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to go to another bowler, of course, my very good friend, Ricardo Elcock. Hello, Ricardo, what part of the world are you?
I'm in London, so I'm as wet as Don is. I came back on Sunday last week, and I don't think there's been a day that it hasn't rained. So, you know, the good thing is that at Lords they've got good covers, not the sheeting that we get in Barbados. So, you know, they've got hover cover and stuff like that. So, you know, they'll still be able to put some preparation in. But as Don said, if you win the toss, you've got to bowl, because this wicket is going to be a little bit, I suspect, underprepared, or a little bit juicy, I suspect. But apart from all that, I just want to say good evening to the whole Caribbean and to all the people in Barbados. And I'm sure you're warmer than we are here in London.
Just before we go to Philo, by the way, we're going to talk a little bit of with Dougal James on the 19 cricket start. I know he's a very busy man, doesn't have a lot of time, but we're going to go to him pretty soon. Were you here for the World Cup, Ricardo?
Absolutely. I came down and watched the semi-finals and the final. Had to leave fairly soon after the final, to get out before Beryl hit Barbados. And the second thing, I had some lecturing to do here in England, so I needed to get back to do that.
So you were able to get
May up. I say a very good evening.
Yes.
May I say a very good evening to Mr. to what a wonderful gentleman. How talented. You're not only at bowling, but also to become an airline pilot. I mean, that's pretty cool, isn't it?
Ricardo, your response?
Very good evening.
Work hard, Don. It's work hard in both disciplines. Bowling fast, as you know, bowling fast ain't the easiest thing in the world, and I'm afraid flying is just as hard. So, but you know, I've managed to do them both, and for that, I feel eternally privileged, grateful, and very, very blessed.
And how's the
And I've had the pleasure of being on his aeroplane.
Oh, so really?
I'm very, very.
Were you scared,
yes,
Don?
He's flown me on a number of times.
Were you a little scared, Don? Or not quite?
No, he was particularly calm. Absolutely, it was gold dust. It was lovely to see him there. He's flown me a few times on my many trips to Barbados.
Oh, wonderful! Yes,
well, excellent.
And as you know, Colin Croft, is he still a pilot? Fellow, you're very close to Colin. Is he still a pilot, fellow? You know, Colin.
Yeah.
Fellow, good evening to you, sir.
Good evening, Andrew. Good evening to you. Good evening to the esteemed panelists. I want to say good evening to Sherlock Hart, Boogie Bird by Frank Carlos here in London and Heaven. Yesterday I had a chat with Sir Clive Lloyd.
Oh, wonderful.
And Colin Croft is very much alive. He's in London. He should be looking to attend the test match tomorrow. I don't know if he still flies, but maybe I believe he did get over here by aircraft, which means he flew to England. Don't know if he flew himself.
Well done, fellow. Well done, fellow.
He's here in London.
Indeed. Well, Tony Gray, have you flown with these guys? Have you ever had your good friend Ricardo as a pilot? Tony?
No, Andrew. Good evening to everyone. Good evening to the esteemed panel. No, I didn't have, but I faced some short deliveries from him. It was really quick.
Very sharp.
Very aggressive. Very intelligent bowler.
Yeah, indeed. Indeed.
You know, but I've not had the opportunity to travel by playing with him. But as Dawn said, he's very calm and cool, which is a good thing for a pilot.
Yes.
And I love listening to Dawn and yourself and your commentary team.
Yes.
It was excellent. I like his sense of humor and everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and obviously I like Phil Wallace, my good friend, my walking wicket.
I like that. Philo, you're walking wicked.
Dr. Ford.
A good man, yes. Right. Now, just before we go to Dr. Ford, Don, is there a lot of interest in the series in England?
Very much, yes, really. Listen, it's actually Wimbledon week.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually the Euros, the football European Championships on, of which England play tomorrow night in the semi-final against Holland.
Mm-hmm.
But let me tell you, so much sport, but cricket is also front and centre because it's a test match.
Mm-hmm.
In the England, it's, if you don't mind me saying, it's everyone's second nation that they follow in cricket, the West Indies. So that creates some interest. But also, Jimmy Anderson's last test match.
Yes.
Jimmy Anderson's last game as a professional bowler. And West Indies would love to spoil the party, I am sure. But Jimmy Anderson has been bowling. He got 6 or 7 wickets last week for Lancashire. Listen, there'll be a decent crowd there tomorrow. I'm hoping to go maybe Thursday or Friday, but it's a social day in the calendar. There'll be the diehard cricket fans, MCC members going, watching every ball. But just outside of the periphery, on the terraces and the gardens, there'll be people having social days. It's a magnificent social day to go to Lord's. And it's always a nice thing to go for the first day. Fine. And don't forget, with Lord's, you also look upstairs as well as downstairs because of the atmosphere, the cloud, because that plays a part at Lord's.
Interesting.
Great day.
Interesting. Now, Doc, they've been predictors saying 83 percent England, draw 9, West Indies 8. Is that fair enough, Doc, do you think?
Yes, good night to the panel and to the listeners. Well, it's a pretty strong England team there. We haven't done well in England for quite a number of years. I mean, England has batting down to 8 with Wokes. And, you know, they're 4 bowlers and the captain as an all-rounder. And also Root can bowl some off-spin. So they have all their columns ticked. And, you know, strong bowling, strong batting. They're at home. And we're away from home with an inexperienced lineup. You know, most of our players, we only have Brathwaite and Holder with any experience. And the attack is very young. I mean, Shamar Joseph should be interesting. It should also be interesting to see what combinations we used with the new ball. It's good to see Jaden Seals back, but it'll be a big test for the debutant Louis and for the fledgling McKenzie, who has ability but is a bit impetuous. Athanase the same. Hodge is a bit more stodgy, and Jason batting at 6. So the, you know, when we have the silver at 7, it tells you how short our batting is and how vulnerable we are to, you know, in the game compared to England with Wokes at 8 and the captain at 6 and the debutant wicketkeeper who's made like his second 100 just recently. So it's going to be a game as in others. We have to bat well. That's our Achilles heel. It's just about batting and putting up a score that's good enough that we can bowl at. But if we bat first and don't put up a good score, it could be a short test match. And with James Anderson in his last match there, about 119 wickets, is a ground that he's done well on. And if the ball's moving around, you know, it'll be a tough match. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it'll be interesting to watch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so Philo, let me come to you now in terms of maybe just heard from Doc, Win Predictor, 83%. Is that fair, Philo, you think?
I don't think it is fair, Andrew. Okay. But obviously, West Indies are playing England at Lord's, and there's a bias towards England. Mm. Obviously, again, we are underdogs. And I think that the squad that has been announced by West Indies is playing 11. Obviously, there's a little surprise to me. Obviously, they've gone in with Moti, who just arrived in the UK a few days ago, and they haven't gone with the off spinner. Mm. But to see De Silva, I am watching De Silva because I just saw some stuff on De Silva. His last test, 10 test innings, he's only averaging 26.
Mm.
And that's a massive concern. And I agree with Doc. Obviously, I'm happy for Mikel Louis. I watched the 3-day game. And I thought that he looked the most organized out of our batters. Yes, Hodge got 100, mm-hmm. but Louis looked more organized.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm happy that the selectors have decided to use him as Brathwaite's partner.
Right.
I think he's going to be the one who is going to help Brathwaite. We had Shander Paul, who came into the squad and was very more aggressive. And then he went into a very pure, not even purple, a pure patch where he struggled. And we saw him and Brathwaite struggling. So I think that Louis at the top, he's going to bring a bit more energy when you look at it. But just to put 83% in England's favor, I think it's a little harsh on West Indies. But sometimes it's good to have things against you because you can rise against the odds and be the superstars. I think that when you look at it, the confidence within the bowling unit seems to be there. I heard an interview by my young Shamar Joseph, and obviously never played a game in England, never bowled at Lord's. And you're hoping that he can come out of the straps. But I think tomorrow, if we bowl first, I would like to see Aljari Joseph share that new ball with Shamar Joseph.
Mm.
I think that we need to put the fire up front earlier. I know Jaden Seals has bowled well for Sussex, but we got to give Aljari Joseph the leadway in our bowling. He's our vice-captain. I want to see him take more responsibility. And I think he should be given that new ball along with Shamar Joseph and let me throw them operate together. We have to start hunting in pairs with our fast bowlers. Mm-hmm. And we have 295 power bowlers. I believe they should be given that new ball. Jaden Seals can always come back in and hold and take wickets. Jason Holder, we know he's going to bowl at 5th or 6th on steady awesome. But we need our fire up front. If England are going to fight fire with fire, Duckett and Crawley, let's see how they're fighting the balls at 90 miles an hour. And I hope that the surface is a good surface. There'll be a lot of rain. But I think that at Lord's, the headquarters of cricket. I need to put out a service that is good enough for 5 days, or you good enough for test match cricket. And the team that plays the better game, Andrew, will definitely win. I have no fear of Baz ball. I think that once West Indies look at their strengths and keep their strengths going and positive intent, they can do wonders to Baz ball. I think this series is also going to test Craig Buffett as a leader, because he has to captain the West Indies squad in England very, very smart and astute. Cannot give a lot of chances and lead way to the English batters. They'll punish you. And we need to be very smart at how we set our fields and take our opportunities to put pressure on the English batters. I don't want a one-sided test series. I believe we're good enough. Push them. The England team has not been playing a lot of cricket either. Ben Stokes has played one or two county games. The young wicketkeeper, Jamie Smith, I have a lot of time for him. Not because I'm a member of Surrey, but I think he's special, Andrew. I watched him up to last week playing against Essex. Yeah, I watched him playing against Essex at the Oval, and he is special. And I hope that he can, you know, that he can get to showcase his skills. But he's good. As Atkinson would also be looking to come hard at us. But I think we need to be focused as our batters and look to bat long, be aggressive, but be smart in how we approach it. So the win predictor 83 is a little too biased.
I think it's a bit optimistic to think your vice captain will open. He tends to bowl short. We do know
but
that.
Dr. Ford, all you're bringing to me is negatives about West Indies cricket. He's our vice captain. He tends to bowl short.
One sentence is being negativity. I think you have to allow me to develop my point and then come with your assessment. What Dr. I'm Ford, saying is that. Hello, just stick a pin, please.
Stick a pin.
For some time.
Yes.
I think that Don has made a point that bowling at Lord's at the beginning has to do with bowling a test match length and letting the ball work for you. So you're looking for seam, you're looking for swing, you're thinking of how Anderson bowls. And I do know the capabilities of our bowlers. You know that you have the two faster men, Holder and Joseph. You know, Joseph is kind of inexperienced, so he won't get the new ball. Because if Crawley and Duckett and, you know, get off, then it's going to be a problem. So more than likely, I'm sure Anthony will agree with me that Seals will probably get the new ball. And Jason, with his experience, will probably also share the new ball. Early to see what's happening. I'm not diminishing what captain can do, but I'm just saying the natural length of the vice captain is a bit shorter, and that's something for an older ball, a different type of approach. And we've seen enough of him that we know how he approaches his cricket, and I don't think a leopard will change his stripes after some considerable time. But I don't believe that assessing who will bowl first is negativity about our cricket. I think it's just being, clinical and just trying to see what the possibilities are. But I haven't said anything negative about their ability, so I do hope you can withdraw some comment.
I'm not withdrawing any comment about the first. But the first thing, you look at Azhari Joseph, we have to have the confidence. We have to place the confidence in that young man to deliver for us. I'm listening to Don Topley bowling for length. Azhari has played county cricket in this country. You don't feel he understands the conditions. You don't feel Jason Holder, who's just been here, would have helped those fast bowlers in the nets. Or bowling coach is Sean Tate, who's supposed to be a wonder, who's supposed to be helping us. You don't feel that those guys are sitting down and planning it. If we see it over the next 5 days and the bowlers are bowling poorly, then we can say. But I'm going to give the benefit of the doubt to us. I like Azhari. I think Azhari Joseph has something special in him. There's no Kemar Roach. You cannot come and tell me that Jaden Seals now is going to leapfrog the man to be the leader. He has to lead. We have to give him responsibility. That captain and management team needs. You cannot appoint a man for his captain as a fast bowler telling me that you don't believe he's going to pull a full length because it's England. He may bowl too short. No. You have to give him the responsibility. He has been here already. We are shying away from giving our players responsibility, and then we are bashing them and they don't perform. Throw him in the trenches and let us see what he can do. Suppose Jaden Seals bowls the first over and goes to 25. You can then call out Zachary Joseph.
Well, I think anyone could bowl a first over and go for 25. But I thought, Philo, I do know what your opinion is, and I think maybe we should hear what Tony has to say. But understand that this isn't about negativity.
Yes.
I believe everyone that's there in the team is there for a reason. These are the best cricketers that we have.
Right.
But, you know, I also think that we're not in the dressing room. We don't know the dynamics between the coach and the captain and the vice captain. But I do believe that if the vice captain is someone that's assertive and has the personality that's necessary and he wants to get the new ball, we would see him with the new ball tomorrow. And I will eagerly watch, because I believe we will have a program next week and we can discuss it again. But I'm sure that Anthony, much better at bowling than I was, will have something of significance to say. But the thing is, everybody's going to bowl, you know, Philo. It's not like if you don't get the new ball, your game is over. Because I believe England will bat for enough time that we'll get to see the abilities of all the bowlers. But it's about the new ball. What are you trying to do with the new ball? And then if things don't work, who is the enforcer? Who can do that? And Alzari and Shamar are the enforcers that bowl the length that you have to go through if things don't go early. But I think we should let Anthony speak next, and then we'll come back to you, Don.
Yes. Okay. We're going to pause for business, because when we come back, this is getting interesting. Tony Gray, you will certainly have a shot at it. And then, of course, Don Topley, who was agreeing with both gentlemen, will speak after you. Mason and Guest, Broughton Association, with our good friends at ASAP Work Rum, the best shot of the day.
ASAP, white rum. If anybody feel they could drink with me, let them come. Open your mouth, drink it up, or you can't qualify to sing this song. Tell me, bartender, ASAP is the best shot of the day. Boy, pa 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 da 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 pa 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 da da. Say what you want.
Now let's go straight to Tony Gray. Tony, you've heard the discussion, the muscular discussion between my good friend Philo Wallace and, of course, my good friend Dr. Ford. Do you think that Alzari Joseph should open the bowling? Tony Gray, can you tell me?
Yeah, I think that he should open the bowling with Seals. The reason why I say that is because, obviously, when you look at the England side, they're predominantly right-handed batsmen. And obviously two left-handers in the first seven batsmen, which includes Ben Stokes, the captain. But I played at Lords, the first time I played at Lords, and I wish that Roland Butcher would have been on this program. I got his wicket.
you did?
But I got seven wickets bowling from the pavilion, and I played for Surrey against Middlesex.
Oh.
And because of this... And because of my ability to bowl the out swing, it facilitated that type of angle. Now, I think that Jaden Seals should come from the pavilion end, because he has that ability to move the ball away from the right-handers at good enough pace.
Mm.
And once he gets close to the stump, I can see him being a wicket taker. But we have three predominantly good fast bowlers. I mean, I'm not sure about the fitness level of Jason Holder, because he had shoulder trouble. But who can take wickets with the new ball? But I think Alzari Joseph from the top end, and Jaden Seals, who has that ability to move the ball away from the right-handers, from the pavilion end, where I got those 7 wickets. So, and things haven't changed overnight with the slope. There's definitely
the slope is still very much there.
At Lords.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don?
So I hope that I mediated.
Yes, you did a wonderful job. You did a wonderful job. Yes, Don. Mediator number two.
Right. Listen, loving it. We're not wrapping this up in ribbons. We are really talking cricket now. And I'll come on to the bit I want to make. But I also think about opening the bowling. You might miss Kemar Roach for me. Because he's very established with opening the bowling in the UK. I tend to think Jaden Searles might open, but he might open not necessarily at the pavilion, and he might use the slope going from the nursery end. And now we're getting to the nitty-gritty. you've got Ricky Alcock, who played his home cricket at Middlesex.
Mm-hmm.
Anthony Gray, myself, we're all bowlers. And let me tell you, Shimar Joseph, and even Azhari Joseph to a little bit, these guys are not experienced bowling in England. Bowling at Lord's is actually difficult because of the slope. Away swingers love the nursery end. Left armers and in swingers prefer the pavilion end.
Mm.
And let me tell you, it mucks you up. It mucks your lines up. Suddenly from the pavilion end, you bowl a bit too straight because it goes down the slope and the batsmen manipulate you into the space in the leg side where you haven't got the fielders. So, look, I honestly hope tomorrow, my hope, I have a worry that if the West Indies do bat, I do think Anderson and Wokes will bowl well in English conditions. And Gus Atkinson, a youngster, 26, got a little bit of pace. He's a little bit quicker than he looks. He might be nervous, but he might be England's enforcer in this test match. But let me tell you, I would hope the West Indies win the toss, decide to have a bowl, and then a little bit of pressure for their batsmen, because they're going to have to bowl smart and the right lengths. And as I say it again, very boring, but bowlers in those conditions where it's just doing a little bit, you have to be patient. But Ricky, Lord's was his own ground. That was his home grain. Ground. Anthony Gray had played there. I've played there. It's not an easy place to bowl.
Ricky, tell us about it.
Well, yeah, it's actually quite a difficult ground to bowl at, to tell the truth, especially from the pavilion end. And as Don said, it's actually, you know, you tend to bowl a little bit too straight if you bowl from the pavilion end. What I will say is you actually doesn't need an outswing bowler to bowl at the pavilion end. A straight bowler at the pavilion end is an outswinger. Because because of the angle of the ground, everybody will try and turn you into the leg side, and usually in the puff. I prefer to bowl at the you know, at the nursery end, because it was just natural to me. I could use my outswinger down the slope, which worked quite well, and I could, and if I started it straight enough, it was a good ball, you know. So I hope that I'd like to see the two fast men up front. The two fastest bowlers. I always believe that if you got a new ball, give it to the 90 mile an hour up front. If they don't work, then you can bring a media pacer after. I certainly won't want Jason Hall to bowl in my new ball, I'll tell you that now. I want somebody that's going to hit the deck at 90 miles an hour.
So why wouldn't you want Jason Hall to bowl in the ball?
Interestingly, Andrew.
Yes.
Which end would Anthony Gray like? Because you've got Ricky wants the
nursery end.
Which end does Anthony play?
What I think is that if Azhari Joseph comes from the nursery end, tell me if I'm wrong or right, you know, he has to complete his action because of that slope, that pronounced slope. Now, when you look at him in the World Cup and generally in the Test match cricket, the only problem I have with him is that his lengths are indifferent, obviously, but he doesn't really complete his action against a right-handed batsman. And if he's coming from the nursery end, he has to really and truly put great effort in doing that, because he's got to bowl forward stump, because the angle will take him into the right-hander. And if he bowls straight, he's going to angle along the leg side. So he's got to be working very hard to be a lot more consistent at Lord's.
Mm-hmm. All right. I'm going to bring Roland Butcher in, because I know he's got a view on this. But just before we do that, Dougal James has been waiting quite a long time. He doesn't have a lot of time. So, gentlemen, just give me 5 minutes or so to go to St. Vincent. Of course, the Under-19 tournament is on our doorsteps. So let's have a quick chat with him. Hello, Dougal. How are you? Dougal. Muted. Dougal, we want to see you first of all. Dr. Ford, can you help him? I know you're a skin doctor. Dougal. Oh.
He's there. Just unmute yourself.
Yes. Good evening to everyone.
Yeah.
and folks in radio. Now, the discussion previously is very interested.
Mm.
And I would like to have a say on that, because I don't think that you can elevate a man to a leadership position and then try to relegate him when it's time for him to really take the mantle.
Mm.
And I think Al-Zawi Joseph not using the new ball should be his decision.
Really?
Because I think he has the pace. And he appears to be a leader out there and a serious cricketer on the field.
Mm.
I've been observing him.
Mm.
And he rarely goes into his shell
mm.
when he's met with challenges.
I see.
So you need to give folks like that the chance to really flourish.
I see.
Start with the two fastest guys. If it doesn't work, you can always change after 5-6 overs.
Mm-hmm. I see. Well,
that's my take on it.
Oh, wonderful. Dougal, tell us, I know you're a busy man. Are you involved in the carnival? Is Carnival Tuesday there? Are we taking you away?
Well, yes, I was, yes.
Mm.
Yes, but I decided to make myself available now.
Right, okay, good. Well, I know you don't have a lot
because
of time.
Because in terms of the under-19,
yes,
the dates have been pushed back to the 11th, to the 20th, to the 30th.
Right.
And the three-day version has been scrapped for a two-day version, which starts on the 11th and ends on the 21st.
Right.
So there will be a two-day version. Cricket West Indies decided. And then the white ball, 50 over, will be from the 23rd to the 30th.
Okay. Mm.
And all the facilities for hosting the players and things are in good order. Electricity, water, everything flowing properly
to
their backup. The fields, the outfields, in perfect good condition. Just two of the grounds you had to do repairs to the side screens, which will be done on time. And the reason for pushing back there, after the hurricane, we had rain for a few days. So in terms of wicket preparation, groundsmen will be in challenge, but they have gotten a few days to start. And I think everything will be in order.
So
also,
not...
there were flight issues also.
Oh, you had flight issues. So everybody's there now?
Yeah.
All the teams.
Well, Trinidad is expected tomorrow.
Trinidad will be in tomorrow. Okay. So the only team not there, Trinidad. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, Trinidad will be
okay.
Caribbean Airlines should be bringing them in the morning.
In the morning. Okay. And you start on the 11th.
On the 11th.
Right.
Yes.
And the grounds they're using, can you tell me quickly the grounds they're using?
They're using Arnesville 1, Sion Hill playing field, Park Hill playing field, and the Cumberland playing field.
Mm.
So two grounds in the central area, Kingston outskirts.
Right.
One on the windward side, which is Park Hill, and Cumberland is on the leeward side, not leeward. And Cumberland, that's the area where Keswick Williams and Ian Allen, those guys came from. Park Hill's Cameron Coffey.
Okay, wonderful.
From that area.
Right, wonderful. No, yeah. So you've had challenges there in St. Vincent, of course, with Beryl. And any personal challenges for you?
Yeah.
With Beryl?
No, none whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
No, none.
Mm-hmm. Well, I heard one of our reporters.
Only Grenadines that got hit bad.
So St. Vincent, the mainland, not too bad at all.
Some areas got damaged and a lot of utility lines were down.
Oh, I see.
As a matter of fact, the power company is still working and getting some areas back up.
Okay, I see. But no challenges because you still had your carnival. Didn't stop carnival, did it?
Yes. No. Well, the thing is that it's a bit now. There are some mass bands with 1,500 costumes here that costumes paid for an average of $1,500. That's $2.25 million. You can't expect them to be refunding costumes that magnitude of money.
Oh. I see. I agree.
So you have to allow it to go on too in some cases, yeah. And some areas, like in the Grenadines, I estimate places like Yunnan will take about 2 years.
Oh, 2 years?
Before proper electricity and utilities will be restored, and Canada about 6 months.
Jeez.
So the damage has already been done, and
Terrible. Absolutely.
Get this out.
So just before you go, Dougal, you're saying that everything is good. You start on July the 11th.
Yes.
The only team not to have arrived is Trinidad.
Trinidad and Tobago.
And all the facilities are pretty good. No challenges, really.
Yes. They were not affected. Just utilities went down at the facilities. Light and water.
Structural
challenges.
But they're back up and running. But they're back up and running.
For do good.
But they're back up and running.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I see. Yeah, Philo?
Yeah.
Do good. Good evening. Only good evening. The umpires, will be local umpires used throughout this competition? Only locals, or you're bringing in some umpires?
No, there will be a mix.
Okay. Mm. And the game,
and they're also an island as well.
Yes.
And the and the games are going to be streamed?
Streamed, yes. Yeah, the games will be streamed.
Mm-hmm. I see. And the interest there in St. Vincent, how is it? Is it good? I mean, people are talking about it or not really?
Yeah, it's good. The Anthem youths, I think, did a good thing in getting the youths interested back in cricket. And also, for one of the games, Cricket West Indies made 3,000 tickets available for the day game.
Okay.
School children for free.
Okay, wonderful.
And 2,700 of those were actually checked as utilized.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. Just before you go, Dougal, who's paying for all this? Is it the St. Vincent board or is it the Cricket West Indies paying for all of this?
Cricket West Indies.
Mm-hmm.
Cricket West Indies.
How much is it going to cost you to put this event on? Do you know? You're an accountant.
It would be over $500,000.
Mm. You heard that, fellow? Over $500,000. Okay. Okay, fair enough. Yeah. Well, Dougal, I want to thank you very much. As always,
that's been prudent.
And accountants are always prudent. Huh? Right. I want to thank you very much indeed for coming on the show. It's been a pleasure. You're saying to us that everything is looking good. The venues are okay. You start in 2 days' time, and we expect to have a good under-19 competition.
Yes. Yes.
All right.
And I expect the West Indies to surprise the pundits.
All right. I look.
Yes. But I love that there's no pressure. There should be no pressure on them because of the projection.
So
I expect them to go there as and perform.
Right, indeed.
There's no pressure on them. Because they expect it to lose in 2 days.
By
that probability.
Right, fair enough. Well, thanks.
I expect them to do better.
Thank you very much, Dougal James, the president of the St. Vincent Cricket Association, has been doing a pretty good job. We want to thank you for coming on Mason and Guest. Can we pause for business calls now, can we? We'll do that when we come back. We'll hear from Roland Butcher.
And all the best.
We'll also open the lines as well, 441-790, Mason and Guest, Broadden Association, with our very good friends at ASFV White Rum, the best shot of the day.
If anybody feel they could drink with me, let them come. Open your mouth, drink it up, or you can't qualify to sing this song. Tell me, bartender, ESA is the best shot of the day. Boy, pa 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 da 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 da, pa 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 da da. Say what you want, ESA is the best shot of the day. Is the best shot of the day.
All right, 2 minutes before 7 o'clock. Just before we go to Roland, let's take a call, 441-790. Hello, welcome, Mason and Guest.
Good night to the panel.
Good night
to
you.
How are you, gentlemen?
How are you?
Pretty good.
Good.
Question now for Philo. Philo was on an advisory committee with WICB.
Yes.
And now I am hearing about deaf charting and all that, this new selection policy. So I wonder if he was part of that and exactly how is deaf charting going to work in cricket.
Hello?
I sat that panel about 3 years ago.
Mm.
As I said many times on this program, the second review panel that I sat on, I didn't even get to see the final document.
Whoa.
And then I heard there was another review panel that went and did something, yes, with some other gentlemen. So I don't know anything about the new policy. We have to wait. There's a lot of rumors going around. Obviously, the board will make a decision on how they're looking to structure the selections and stuff like that. Obviously, there's no lead selector in England because we don't have one. So it's going to be quite interesting to know who selects the final playing 11 and stuff like that. But these are things that cricket West Indies don't seem to share with the stakeholders like yourself. So I don't know. We have to wait and see what's going to happen with the selection policies. I don't know anything about it, sir.
No. Okay, I just want to know what his death charting was. I know what it is, but I want to find out how it is going to apply to cricket. Perhaps the learned doctor, Ford, might know something about it. All right, gentlemen, thank you much.
Okay, thanks, sir. Can we take another call? Yes, let's take another call before we bring in Roland Butcher, who would know because he was recently there doing some wonderful work. Hello, welcome, Mason and guests.
Yeah, good night. Good morning.
Good night to you.
The Ford and Wallet, Miss Hello.
Yes, sir.
Right. The conditions in England with hardly half of the West Indies batsmen because they don't move their feet.
They don't move their feet, huh?
One West Indies player on the pitch that is giving assistance to the bowlers. They are sixes and nines. They think we know that, Andrew.
Yeah, so they're in trouble. All right, well, we're going to get a reaction from Roland Butcher. I know that we got two calls waiting, so let's take them quickly and go to Roland.
Good work, huh?
All right, thanks very much. Can we take these two calls? Yes, Ronnie Clark says yes. The man who supported Spain today against France. Hello, welcome. Miss it and guess.
Andrew.
Yes, hello.
I want to know if... Good night to you, your panel. I want to know if cricket coming on the radio in the morning.
Not as far as I know.
No, so you go watch it then. It's going to be on ESPN or the other channel there, the West Indian channel there.
What West Indian channel are you talking about?
I mean the Channel Jamaica, man. You know what I mean, TV Channel Jamaica.
You talking about Sports Max?
Sports Max, yeah. ABR Sports Max.
No, it's ESPN.
Oh, ESPN. Okay, that's all we really want to know.
Yeah, but there's a lot of cricket coming up very soon as well in terms of the fact South Africa will be coming here next month and we're going to have, about 70-odd days. 42 days between now and the end of the year. So there's a lot of cricket to play in the Caribbean and we're trying to see if we can get some radio commentaries because I do know that you do like your radio commentaries.
Of course, I like to hear when you're questioning people about lead pipes.
Well, you know, Don Tobley, for the first time when he came, he tried a lead pipe. Don, you remember that lead pipe?
Very nice. Very nice.
Very nice indeed.
But Andrew, I can go on now, right? But I just want to say this.
Right.
How can you have the two Josephs and not open the bowling with them? So the person that say... You got to open the bowling with the 290s. I am in agreement with that 100%.
Okay.
Anyway, you guys take it easy.
Thank you very much indeed. Roland Butcher, how are you? Where are you, Roland? Are you in Barbados? Are you in, is it Rome? Because I know you were in Rome recently. Are you in Rome, Roland?
Andrew, good evening to you and the guys on the show. I'm in UK, Andrew.
What are you doing up there, Roland? What are you doing up there, Roland?
Before I answer your question, I would like to let Tony Gray know.
Yes.
That Don Topley never got me out, and I'll probably even add Ricky to that as well.
Roland, I have to come in here.
Yes.
7 for 68 against Middlesbrough.
Tony, you've had your say.
You don't want me to have
to say. Dr. Ford.
It's documented.
You probably got me in that.
Roland, after a review.
So, Mr. Gray, how did you get Roland Butcher out?
With a lifter away from him. Caught and slipped.
First,
Alex Stewart behind the wicket, Monty Lynch first slip.
So, Roland, you don't remember that.
I have no recollection of that.
Right. So just look at stats now.
I'm sure Ricky doesn't remember that either.
you had about five West Indians in that particular game.
Really?
No one Collins. Yeah. Black Diamond, Wayne Daniel. Yourself.
Well, you've mixed me up with him, Daniel and
No. We call him Black Diamond. You were Black what something.
So Tony, you remember the year that happened?
1985, the first time I played at Lord's.
1985.
Yeah, from the Pavilion.
Okay, and Butcher caught a second slip or first slip?
Quarter second slip, Monty Lynch, yeah.
A lifter.
Records are there, you know.
Yeah, okay.
A lifter, yeah.
Yeah. Roland.
Got a lifter.
Roland.
Roland, you can't lie. I
do. Yes.
Get Dr. Ford to do. Get Dr. Ford to check that out.
We're going to check it out. Now, Roland, before you comment on the whole question of the who should open the bowling, news broke last week that the Honorable Desmond Haynes is no longer lead selector. And we know that you lost your job a couple months ago. Are you surprised at this development, Roland, as a former selector now fired?
I wasn't fired, Andrew. My contract came to an end.
Okay, fair enough.
But no, I'm not surprised. I think if you asked Desmond, he would probably realize the silence meant that similar things would happen. I guess there's a master plan somewhere, but we will see how that master plan develops. But what I can say is, and Desmond can and will say at some point, is that, you know, we did a very good job.
Mm-hmm.
So I walk away with my head held high. And as you know, I'm not a person who cries over spilled milk. You know, I get up and move on, and that's what I've done. I've got up and move on, and I'm sure Desmond will do the same.
So you would say that the Honorable Desmond Haynes was hard done. Would you say that, Roland?
Well, I would wonder why you would want to change a selection policy when things are on the up.
Mm-hmm.
I thought the time to do that would be when you're on the down.
Mm.
But they're ways ahead to understand what they're doing and why they want to do it. I think they're looking to adopt a system that England adopted, and it failed miserably.
Right, that's true.
You may remember a couple of years before Chris Silver, Ashley Giles returned as managing director of English cricket and instituted that same policy, making Chris Silverwood the coach and selector. We all know what happened to English cricket immediately after that, resulting in the firing of both of them within 6 months. So it's a failed concept. I am not convinced that it's a concept for a place like the Caribbean. Yes, you need scouts in the Caribbean because of the, you know, we're spread out all over the place.
Mm.
But to not have independent scouts, independent selectors, I think it's putting power in the hands of the coach, who is with the team all the time, making the decisions wholly on those players. But we will see. Time is healer.
Anthony, I'm hearing that you're a scout. Is that true, Anthony Gray? Have you been contacted?
Not yet, but I have been a scout for about 4 years when Roger Harper first was given the position of league selector. Yeah.
I just want to be absolutely clear. So you're not, at this moment, you're not a scout. You're not a scout.
I am a scout. Last 40 competition, I did it.
You're stuttering, stuttering, Mr. Gray.
At UE.
You're stuttering, Mr. Gray.
No, that's the internet. I don't stutter. No, the thing about it, the thing about it is that, I'm still, I consider myself still a scout. What question do you want to ask me? Ask me any question. Come on.
Okay, hold on.
You're stuttering now.
Hold on. No. It's Tuesday, July the 9th. 9 minutes past of 7 o'clock. Tony Gray, you're telling the Mason and Guest family that you're a scout.
Yeah.
I'm not hearing you.
Continue. I said yes.
Okay, fair enough. Did you know continue. That? Did you know that, Mr. Butcher?
Well, I know Tony was a scout when I was a selector because, you know, we spoke during that period. Tony said he's a scout. You mean he have to qualify to clarify to you, Andrew, whether he's a British scout. You know, only he can tell you that.
Tony, can you answer that?
No, the thing about it is when the competition is played in Trinidad, both the under-17s and the senior team, I am a scout. So I assume that when the under-17 competition comes up again, I will be a scout. So I consider myself a scout.
Okay.
Yeah. I've been doing it for the last 4 years.
Tony, are you aware of any other scouts?
Well, Mahade Obudu did it in Trinidad. He assisted with the under-17 tournament. And there are other scouts throughout the Caribbean. I'm not going to name them. What's the point, Andrew? Get to the point.
You are...
Andrew, what has the little birdie said, Andrew?
Well, I'm hearing that Roger Harper... To the point. I'm hearing that Roger Harper is going to be a scout. Have you heard that, Roland Butcher?
May I'm never that close to hear these things, Andrew. I have to rely on you making it public. I don't put myself in a position to try and find out either.
All right. Now let's move on. Let's come to you now. Of course.
Andrew.
Yes.
Andrew.
Yes.
Can I ask Tony a question? Now, in the equation, does the scout have a positive, negative, or zero value? In terms of their opinion.
Well, I think that, first of all, you'll be pertinent to what's happening in the Caribbean. I think that Roland Butcher is right in saying because of the system that we work by, we have to be pertinent to the situation. And scouts are very important. And scouts have to be further educated. I think that, you know, if you're determining young players' lives, first of all, and you are feeder to... the senior team selectors, you have to be comprehensively educated in so many different ways. You have to understand, for example, the developmental process from the youth team level to the senior team level. So I think it's very important that we have scouts because of the nature of West Indies cricket system, where we are picking players from all over the Caribbean. And it's very difficult for three selectors to... you know, transport themselves all over the Caribbean to look at the talent. So I think that scouts are necessary, but they have to be qualified and further educated.
And are they engaged properly?
Tony, there's only going to be one.
In your opinion, are they engaged properly? And do you, as an individual, think that you have worth as a scout?
Yeah, well, when I was in contact with Desmond Haynes a lot concerning the talent that I would have seen. And what I would have done would have been very comprehensive in a way I reported. Not just verbal reporting, but written reporting. And because of my background, having to coach the national under 19 team in Trinidad and Tobago for 9 years, I have gone on courses and I've further educated myself. So I was comprehensive in reporting to Desmond Haynes, the lead selector. And some of the players that I mentioned, I cannot mention their names because that has to be confidential. But some of the players have gone forward and have done well. So I need to be comprehensive in my evaluation, my assessment, and my reporting. And I've done that, I feel.
Right. Thank you.
Tony,
can I ask a question?
Yes. Yes, Ricardo.
So, Tony, when the... asked you to be a scout, did you have a criteria? The point I'm making is that if you're going to be a scout, presumably somebody's told you, well, I'm looking for A, B, C, D. There's no point in you looking and scouting and choosing spinners when I'm expecting to play fast bowlers. That's the point. Did you have a criteria?
Yes, there's a written document that you report on and there's a criteria that you look at. But you also have to be, and I was... you know, very educated on what the criteria of the senior team selectors are about too. So yes, I've read that time and time again because I went up as a senior team selector when you you know had that that system of sending your resume forward and then going through a process of analyzing a team for the World Cup, things like that. So there is a criteria that I'm very aware with, and I've used it in my reporting.
Ricardo?
Interesting.
Well, I mean, when I see on the 19 teams picked to go around the world tour, and West Indies on the 19 teams, to me, it doesn't seem to reflect what is going to be the senior team. That's my issue. And to me, if you have got a selection policy or a criteria, if you are planning to choose a particular West Indies senior team, that should be reflected through on the 19, 17, 15, as far down as on the 13. And I don't think that West Indies on the 19 thing actually reflect what we see at senior level.
Well, let me just say something, Ricardo. It's important of what you said, because the director of cricket spoke about the alignment, and there needs to be a spinal approach to getting the player from the playground to the international arena. I agree with you fully, and that must be reflected in the systems and the way we go about things. Now, part of it, part of that development is selectors. Selectors have to understand the course of development, the different stages of development, to know what and when to pick players. And and I agree with you fully, and the director says it. So this new system that I am not fully aware of, I think that you have to allow them to ventilate the intricacies of it first of all, and then we could make an informed decision on if it's feasible or not.
Tony, what do you think about the modern way that England's doing it with the iHawk and other cameras, with the umpire able to determine the trajectory, the release points, what the seam's doing, swing. You can look at a batsman. So you can identify a talent, and the talent comes to the fore. And this is how they chose the off spinner for the last tour that was so successful, that displaced Leach. Don't you think that maybe, yes, your written report is useful, but don't you think maybe we need a bit more that, you tell the selector about someone and maybe they can see it? Because in the long run, the person with who that responsibility lies, I mean, it depends on how their perception of you and how much what weight they put on your opinion. And that will vary because of associations and how long they've known the person, trust, and, a knowledge of who's given the information. So there's some inherent biases that will be there that will come through. So without really the evidence to support written reports, don't you think that we are maybe missing a bit of something there?
Well, as I said before, this is the nature of West Indies cricket. There will be tribalism, there will be parochialism, and it's something that we have to wipe out. Now, you're talking about the use of technology. The first things first, a selector must have is honesty and integrity. And it's more magnified, the importance of it is more magnified in the system that we have, because it's natural to be accommodating to somebody from your country. It's natural. But if you have honesty and integrity, then you're going down the right way. But it's much more than that, Dr. Ford. It's about understanding comprehensively the situation of development, right? A lot of times, selectors at youth team level have rushed players into international cricket and things like that, or cricket in general, and they've gone backward. You have to understand, and we talk about talent a lot. Talent in the Caribbean is expressed from eye candy. If you see a guy playing proper shots, that is talent. But talent is much more than that. Like, for example, the Trinidad Big One and 19 selectors picked Adrian Barrett very early because he had that maturity, he had that physical strength, he had the ability to deal with pressure, he was very situational. So talent is not just about skill. Talent is about a comprehensive maturity of the player and the way he goes about pressure, the way he deals with his teammates, and to push him forward. So it's a very important part. Scouting is a very important part of the development and hopefully the resurgence of West Indies cricket.
Okay. We're going to pause for business calls. We've got to do that. When we come back, the lines are open, 441790. Mason and Guest, brought in association with our good friends at ASFE Work Rum, the best shot of the day.
Look at your watch,
to sing this song, tell me bartender, ESA is the best shot of the day. Boy, pa 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 da 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 da, pa 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 da da. Say what you want, ESA is the best shot of the day. Is the best shot of the day.
All right, 441790, give us a call and participate. We got a call, let's try and take some calls as well. As it heads. Hello, welcome.
My name is Mason.
Good night.
Mr. Mason, how are you?
I'm fine.
I didn't hear the best things. I didn't hear the theme.
Well, Philo Wallace talked about it. You didn't hear Philo doing a comprehensive assessment? Team,
but what I'm saying is that if in case that we want this cricket to go 5 days, and we're going to go back first. If the best thing back first, now we can't allow 5 days.
You don't think so?
Up front. Because the reason why. These men and you, as I say all the time, they don't understand the thing of batting long. If one of them can't hit a six, then figure the one will be top. The way you go, home, oh Lord, my way to say. But that is not the game of cricket. The game of cricket and you is just stand up, bat for the total there, and when you got the ball, you got to defend it. If you can't defend the score that you make, and you're wasting time.
But isn't Jason Oley your top all rounder?
Is he what?
Isn't he not your top all rounder?
I do the miracle man.
No, I'm asking you. Is he not your top all
rounder? No, man. I'm not the top all rounder. I'm one score against England. And since that, you better select it. You do nothing. This man will be batting, he can't treat, failing all the time. What up, everyone? And who be getting fooled? And the people feel that we're here foolish, and we know what's going on. All you think, surely good or wrong, you got my careless talks. They're wishing all them big boys.
Not Jason?
I didn't want to live with it, man.
You don't think so? All right.
No. How do we get into it?
All right, thanks for your contribution. All right, thanks for your contribution. Let me come now to our good friend Ricardo. Ricardo, do you think this series is going to be tight? I mean, when predictors saying England 83, West Indies 8, possibility of a draw 9%. Do you expect a fight from the West Indies in this series, Ricardo? We're not hearing you. We don't hear you. You're muted. Yes.
It's a young team.
Yes.
You can hear me now?
Yeah, loud and clear.
Yeah, this is a young team. And I think with opportunities, you know, there's opportunity there for these boys. It's, you know, a lot of them has never played in English conditions or at Lords and places like that. And it's an opportunity. And hopefully somebody will grab it by the... with a scruff of the neck and use it. And, you know, as the young fast bowler did in Australia, there's no reason why the West Indies can't do well. I'm not so sure they'll win the series, but I think what we're more interested in is performances of these young players, because you're going to need these performances going forward. Now, it's whether the West Indies can hold on to these players here. Someone come here and do well. Is whether the West Indies can hold on to them and get them to play any more for the West Indies. And I think that's more the point that the West Indies should be worrying about, producing players and getting them to stay and play for the West Indies long term.
Don, do you think the series is going to be competitive? Or expect a whitewash?
I hope so. Look, I think England could win the series 2-0. I think the toss is important tomorrow. I do believe, like I said earlier, and now they're going to have to bowl some decent overs. So from my point of view, I hope it is a competitive series, and I really hope the West Indies have an opportunity tomorrow, especially if they win the toss tomorrow morning.
Mm. Roland, you think it's going to be competitive, Roland? Or whitewash?
Andrew, I don't think it'll be a whitewash. What I do feel is that there are certain factors that will have to be in West Indies' favour to get the positive result that you're looking for. I think for a start, a change in the weather is what's needed for a start. You need, you know, the guys are pretty cold already. I think you need some good sunshine throughout these three test matches. I think the other area West Indies have got to get right is they've got to get first innings runs on the board. And they've got to hold their catches. I think the bowling, particularly the fast bowling department, will hold its own. This summer so far, spinners really have done not a great deal on these pitches in England. In actual fact, there'd be so many runs scored, it's unbelievable. So they've got to get those areas right. They've got to bat first innings, they've got to get first innings runs. They've got to hold the catches and good weather. I feel within the three games that could win a game. There's no question about that. I believe that, you know, they could get a draw to the series.
Mm. Philo, do you think it's going to be?
And if they do that,
you think it's going to be one
result?
If it's going to be one-sided, Philo, do you expect a tough battle from the West Indies, or England will roll over the West Indies?
I don't think it's going to be one-sided, Andrew. I don't think England are going to roll over West Indies. I think England are just as concerned about West Indies' victory against Australia. That is a positive, a massive positive as well. My thing, Andrew, is that my fear is the middle order for West Indies batting. It's an experience, yes, but I don't see a lot of good scores. So the key to me is that we have to hold our, the two openers have to hold the English new ball bowlers well. They cannot expose that middle order too early to the English seam bowlers. So a lot of responsibility on Craig Bradford. He didn't bat in the second innings of that three-day game. For God knows which reason why. He didn't bat. He hasn't come in. He looked very scratchy already in England, but he will know how to prepare himself for a test match. He's played some 89 test matches. Mikhail Louis will make this debut, Andrew. But I still feel that the English fear West Indies cricket. And if we can go in that first day at our bowl and do the basics properly and come out on that first day with some good positive results, I think it can set up the entire series. But if we go there tomorrow and if we bat and we get bowled for 160, it's going to send a damper throughout the series. I think that we need, if we lose the toss and bat first, we have to decide, or they have to decide, that they will bat the entire first day of that test match and lose about 5 or 6 wickets to give themselves confidence. And that's the only thing I get out. We can bat properly, and I believe if we put runs on the board, Andrew, is going to give our fast bowlers enough ammunition to run in and bowl and confidence to run in and bowl. Fast bowler preferred to bowl at 320 first innings he runs than 122 or 140. So we need to look at it in that context. But other than that, I think that England is also fearful of West Indies because they don't know how we will play on the day.
Oh, interesting. All right, we're going to take a call before I get a reaction from you, Tony. Just let's take this call. 441790. Hello, welcome, Mason and Guest.
Hi, good evening to you, Mr. Mason.
Good evening to you. How are you?
I'm pretty fine, thank you. And yourself?
Okay. You're okay?
I'm trying, thank you.
Nice to hear you, sir.
Well, thank you. You and your family are doing quite well.
Yeah, everybody's doing well. Did you go to any World Cup matches?
No, I didn't manage to get there physically, but I was involved to some extent.
Okay.
But I want to pose a few questions to your panel, please.
Sure.
I hope you don't find them disruptive. does the panel find cricket as a game to be intrinsically more physically, intellectually, and sociologically developmental than other sports? Say like football, marathon running, or even indigenous sport tennis?
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering if you think that if we should invest the level of resources, both human and physical, into another discipline, say like yoga, for example.
Right.
That might turn out to be far more developmental and beneficial to us as a people.
Mm-hmm.
Physically and sociologically and intellectually.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Or, Andrew,
mm-hmm.
are we as a people obsessed with cricket because our colonial masters implanted that in our DNA?
Mm-mm. Doc?
Well, I think historically and economically, it is unquestioned that cricket is at the pinnacle of reaping rewards for people in the West Indian culture. It's the only sport that allows a West Indian to be considered international and relevant. And you can play your trade all over the world. And we've had players get contracts worth $1 million and above and do it repeatedly and do it for years and years. Football, we have had some minor success in football, like Trinidad and Jamaica, but still not to compare with cricket. Basketball, very few successes. There's really not much to look at. So the thing is, rotation is only of relevance in Barbados and maybe a few other pockets all over the world. So I believe that everything points to cricket being the way forward still, mm-hmm. in spite of all the connections with colonialism and otherwise. And we do know its place in world sports after soccer and the other major sports. So that's my answer.
Well, I think that's an excellent response, but I will end off by saying the our benefits in cricket perhaps could be compared in some sense. I guess I'm being pretty cynical to our benefits from sugarcane cultivation. Mm. Things to think about. You gentlemen have a good evening.
All right. Thanks for your contribution. 441-790. Can we take a call? We can. Hello, welcome, listening guest.
Good night.
Hello.
Good night. good night to our panel.
Good night to you, sir.
Yeah. I've been hearing in the opening that this wicket at Lord's could be underprepared. Saying that they had a lot of rain and Wilson may not have a lot of time to prepare this wicket.
Yes, that's what Don said.
But then I am hearing that people are saying that you should win the toss and send the opposition. Then if the wicket is underprepared, I would think that if you win the toss, you should go and bat. Because they wouldn't want to bat last on an underprepared wicket.
That's interesting.
And I think I'm hearing that Moti is in the team, in the final 11.
Mm-hmm.
And if that is so, you wouldn't want him to be bowling on a new wicket either.
Mm.
You would prefer him bowling late.
So you're saying if the pitch is underprepared, that the West Indies, if they win the toss, they should bat. Is that what you're saying?
First. Yes, because I would expect that to be the best part of the batting on the wicket, first day.
Well, let me throw that question quickly to the panel. Let's start with you, Roland.
I do.
Okay.
The wicket will not be underprepared. No test wicket in England is ever underprepared. That pitch is being prepared for pitches. I've done several matches at Lord's this year, commentary, and the pitches were being prepared from then. When those covers are taken off, the only thing that may be is a little bit of moisture initially because the covers will be on so long. But the pitch will be
good.
The pitch will be fine.
To be fine.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
The biggest concern, really, is likely to be more atmospheric than pitch. You know, if it's overcast, etc. But there'll be nothing wrong with the pitch.
Nothing wrong with the pitch.
Yeah. Roland, you made a good point just now when you talk about the prominence of fast bowlers in English conditions. I mean, if you look at it over the years, it's been very difficult for spinners. Some of them had problems gripping the ball because of the fluctuation of the atmospheric conditions, right? Every minute the weather can change in England. What do you think about the team to play against England tomorrow?
Mm.
Should it be Daniel Sinclair bats at six and lengthens the batting? Or you like the fact that Jason Hole is going in at six and Moti's playing in conditions that may not suit him?
Mm.
Yeah, that's true. But, I mean, most teams are not very brave in going into a test match without a spinner. You know, most teams will have at least one spinner in the side. You know, Moti is the one spinner. Obviously, West Indies are banking on the fast bowlers. And in the event that, you know, there is some turn later on in the game, the spinner will come into play. But, you know, I think if they're going to win this test match, I don't think the spinner is the one that's going to win it.
Mm.
I think the faster bowlers are the more.
Mm. Okay, let's take another call, can we? 441790. Hello, welcome.
Good evening to you and your panel.
Good evening to you. How are you?
I'm fine.
Mm.
I want England to win, and I want England to bat first.
You
right?
You want England to win?
Yes.
Pardon me?
I'm going, Andrew. Bye-bye.
I want England to win.
Is that Velma?
Yes, please.
Why would you want England to win?
I'm half and half.
You're half and half?
Yeah.
Can you explain what you mean by that?
My father, grandfather is from England.
Right.
And my mother is a West Indian.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that was make me half and half.
Mm.
Yeah, but anyhow, I want England to win. Mm. And I hope that the West Indies has good mental feel. Because yes. They can't catch.
Oh, you're fine.
So I know that England can make enough runs.
Mm.
If the West Indies bat first, you understand? Then it was swipe. Yeah? Mm. And that's when England can knock them out.
Mm, I see. So you're going to be watching tomorrow morning?
I would love to do that.
It starts at 6 o'clock.
Yeah.
All right. Well, come back.
Where your money is.
Where's your money? All right. Yeah. You like that, huh?
Where money is.
And Roland responds and down by saying it's in my pocket.
Listen, you put your money from the West Indies and it's all gone.
Oh, my golly. Oh, well, Velma, I want to thank you for calling us on Mason and Guest. The first time you've called this program in a long time, though, Velma. Where have you been? Please. You're calling Brass Stacks with David Ellis. Hear that laugh?
Well, sometimes if I get through, I will call Mason, I guess.
Yes, yeah. Well, I'm glad that you listen to the show, huh?
Yeah, I listen to it every Tuesday night.
Wonderful. Well, I want to thank you, Velma.
You're welcome.
And continue to have that St. Philip connection, huh?
Of course.
Oh.
I can't start with that, you know.
I know.
The gentleman there that is producer, he tell me that he's my cousin.
Yes, Omiken Husbands.
Yeah.
Yes, he told me that too.
Yeah, I know that too.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Okay, let's try and nip some calls in here. Hello, welcome, Mason and Guest.
Hi, good night, Andy.
Oh, Strikers Tenantry. A big Jason Holder man.
Yes, you got that right. I hear you ask a gentleman there if Jason Holder isn't the West Indies leading all rounder. And he scoff at it.
Yes.
I would like you to give Jason Holder world rating.
Mm-hmm.
And then give the world rating for the rest of the West Indies team.
Mm. But he was speaking specifically as an all-rounder, though, I must admit.
But he's worth rated as an all-rounder.
Yes.
So give him his world rating as an all-rounder.
And give him his due as well. I don't think
can pull the others' world rating because he said about fooling yourself.
Yeah, but yes. But
you can't fool yourself with a world rating because the people don't give you it just because they like you or they know you.
I have a question for you. Do you think Jason's on the decline?
If I think he's on the decline?
Yes.
Oh, we will see. I don't think so, but we will see.
So the answer to my question is no then.
I don't think so. I don't know if it's but
Strikers Tenantry, you're not normally like that. You're very decisive normally in your answers.
Could we be,
you seem to have some doubts.
If you're not playing test cricket, you can't know if you're up at test standard. That was the problem, you know. From the beginning, I was saying that I didn't want he into the one-day cricket. Remember that, you know.
Right,
I'm not a fan of one-day cricket. But if you're not playing test cricket, you can't know that you're at test standard, Andrew.
That's a good point. Now, I got a question for you.
So when you play, we will see if you're up to test standard or not.
I got a question for you, Striker.
But I want you to give the world rating of the other West Indies players. I will be listening for it.
Jason is number 5 and Kyle Mayers is number 10.
Yes.
In the world.
But I ain't talking about only the all-rounders. I want all the players. Start with Craig Buffett. Where's he world rating?
If you're talking all-rounders, then, I mean, we have to look at the different categories.
Yes. You got to categorize them.
That to you.
Yes, yes.
But, I mean, it is an interesting point that Tony brought up, because he is mentioning, is Moti really capable at that speed to be relevant at Lord's?
Right.
And did the selection panel really make the right decision in picking Sinclair as a second spinner, or have they really picked him as a batsman? And then it brings to the fore, should we really have thought of Braves if you really want to have 5 bowlers? Because the fear is that one of the 4 fast bowlers break down, and therefore we have 5th bowler. So there's some considerations, because we look at just Louis being someone that's new and maybe may not be trusted, and there aren't a lot of other options. But in a team where we have Wokes coming in at 8, we can see that the West Indies maybe should have considered some more all-rounders. If we're to have Jason at 6, there's some other things we should have thought of.
Yeah, I think that's a good point you're making, Doc. Let me come to you, Philo. Hold on a minute, Striker Stenetry. Look at the construct of that side. Are you happy with it, Philo? You talked about Moti earlier. You like the side?
Yeah, I spoke about Moti earlier, Andrew, because Moti arrived in England just a few days ago. You had Sinclair was here with the main group of people. And obviously he would have gone through a lot of preparation. I'm not so certain how much preparation Moti had leading into the test match, but he just bowled a few overs in that 3-day game. And if you look at Sinclair coming out of Australia, and even in the regional 4-day competition, he carried his form from Australia straight through into the regional competition. And he was quite happy with where his game is at. The problem with Sinclair is that as a bowler, he's not effective enough. And I can remember I asked him if he used to reach out, but Clive Watts is now gone to the great beyond. But if he even reach out to Roger Harper and ask a question of how to construct 6 balls in a test match to look to get wickets. Because if Sinclair can start getting wickets like what Carl Hooper used to do, and even if you push it a little further back to Vivian Richards, they came into their own as these off-break bowlers, holding their own, but they end up taking wickets. So because of that, they've gone for Moti, who they expect to come into play and take wickets. Moti's the wicket-taking option of between the 2 slow bowlers. And we don't know what conditions will be like at Lord's as yet. Let the game play. We don't know what conditions we're going to get at Lord's. Right. So we can't say Moti will not be effective.
Right.
They're not Houdinis.
Right.
The game starts tomorrow. Let's...
No. Philo, just a minute. Hold on. The reason why I brought up that question to Roland Butcher...
We're talking about from there. Covenants.
I'm not telling you my opinion on why you feel.
Right?
You have your opinion and you have said it. You've gotten Roland Butcher out at 27 Cup, and the Cup, you were right. Blue Middlesex for 183, you got 6 wickets.
So he said.
And 7 wickets, don't do 7 wickets. I think a Moti, they meant for Moti because they believe he might be the one to take the wickets.
So, no.
England has picked an off spinner. Hold on. England has picked an off spinner who's traveling in county cricket.
Yeah.
And who's left this county and gone on loan. And that guy has not taken a lot of wickets coming out of India. So, that is going to be, that can be our escape in this test match, you know, if we can target him.
Right.
So, there are certain things that England still have their problems as well. So, we need to be smart on how we go about this test match. Can't write off Moti as yet. Game player. He may surprise us.
I am not writing off Moti. You know, I'm looking at the laws of probability. When you are a selector, you have to look at laws of probability. You talk about what happened with the county 11. All right? Moti not getting enough work. He just came out of a T20 World Cup. and bowling certain lengths and lines and bowling certain trajectories. You have to consider all these things.
You don't trust him, Bruce?
No. I'm saying that he had the uncanny ability to take wickets. But right. We have to look at it. I thought we named the team too early. I thought we should have named the team tomorrow.
Oh, that's interesting.
I agree with you. Yeah. I agree with you.
Thank you.
You should not have followed England.
That's right.
You should not have followed England.
I'm
sorry.
Oh.
Yeah. You watch the pitch conditions first to make
and
it.
Then,
the
yeah. And traditionally.
Yeah.
And traditionally, we tend to name the side on the morning. Yeah, you're right. I was a little surprised that the team was named so early. I was surprised by that. Yes, Ricardo?
The team now doesn't make a difference because it's not really official until you give it to the officials.
It makes a difference. Makes a difference. Ricardo, I mean, England are going to be now, all right, we know the 11. We can prepare ourselves mentally. The batters could prepare themselves mentally. The bowlers could prepare themselves mentally. Mm. I think it makes a huge difference.
You can they're prepared now for well over a week, Tony. But
I'm saying about
Craig Brathwaite, he's number 39 in test. I think it would be naive to think that England needs us to name a team to mentally prepare for a squad of 15 from the West Indies.
These are professional cricketers.
Yeah.
Dr. Ford, my point is that the team is not officially named until
that's a good point.
To the officials.
Right.
You can wake up get tomorrow the morning can,
and change the name.
Right, that's true.
Maybe a thing.
That's true.
But how it affects your team too, right? You publicly announce your team. How it affects your players too, who are not on the team.
Right.
You got to get everybody looking to play the game, right? Mentally attuned and prepared. So I think that announcing the team beforehand is not a good thing.
No, gentlemen.
Before Tony, as you'd prefer to find out an hour before, rather than to be settled, especially a team that's so inexperienced and has a debutant there and some other.
I believe when you're dealing with a squad, anything can happen during the course of the morning. Somebody can get sick, and that person might not be fully prepared. So you have to announce the team perhaps an hour before.
All right, gentlemen.
I don't think it makes a difference.
It doesn't make a difference.
It makes a huge difference.
Gentlemen, in the interest of time, we got another 10 minutes or so left in the show. Just want to just go a little segue because, as you know, last week we looked at the whole question of the World Cup. We had Noel Lynch on the show, and we did an assessment, but we didn't get a chance to speak to someone who was intimately involved in the World Cup. We're going to spend 5 minutes with him just to look and see exactly how things went for him. Chetwin Short is on the line. Of course, he's a party man. I know that Don Topley did, in fact, go to the party stand. Chetwin, how are you, my friend?
I'm still hoarse.
Right. How did it go? How did it go in terms of, I know that you were very much involved in the party stand. Did it go okay for you for the World Cup?
Yes, the party stand, I would say, was actually excellent for the World Cup. I mean, it could have been better for the first 8 games, but the finals was the climax, and it was really good. And the other thing is, too, I think Barbados got a lot of exposure. The Indians came in their numbers, and how to put it, is like, you know, when Rihanna put us on the map,
right.
I think this was the second coming. The World Cup put us on the map again.
Mm-hmm, indeed. And in terms of participation, you had good crowds. A lot. You talked about the finals, but generally you were happy with the turnout for the most of the games?
Well, for the first year, we weren't too happy, but we were very happy with the final. The finals made up for the first year.
Mm-hmm. And for the finals, I just peeped across there. Don Topley wanted to take me there, but you had a very good crowd, and I suppose everybody enjoyed, from the English to the Indians, they enjoyed the party stand, didn't they?
Yeah, they had a great time because it was an experience for them. They were never in the stand, you know, where they could be in the swimming pool or watching cricket,
right,
or where they could move around, and then all the drinks were, you know, all the drinks were free from Johnny Walker Black. Right down.
And the prices were pretty decent, I'm told.
Well, it was decent to them, not to the locals. It was $275 US,
But for them and the people who travel overseas for a World Cup, okay, it was very cheap. Actually, a lot of the Partizan tickets early were bundled. You cannot buy a Partizan ticket by itself. Oh. You had to spend like $1,000 US. And they were buying them up before they even came to Barbados.
Mm-hmm. So in your Partizan, before Dr. Ford comes in, you didn't have a lot of local participation then?
Well, no, we didn't. For the finals, we had more.
Okay.
But to be honest, it was mostly the Indians for the finals that came.
Mm. Doc, any questions for Chetwin?
Chetwin, congratulations. It looked like a success looking at it from, you know, from the three W's. And your DJ did a good job. The DJ played music depending on which team was there, and it was appropriate for that team, and the audience had a really good time. After such a successful experience with the World Cup, how do you look forward to maybe the England tour and other tours in the future for the Partizan?
Yeah, well, that's exactly it. You know, we're actually looking forward to England. We'll probably for is running that again. But no, we have more time, you know, to even add a little bit more to it. Because for the World Cup, we actually had to do it in 3 weeks. It was a lot of planning from months out, you know, answering the RSP and everything and getting it. But then to set it up, there was a lot of things that weren't done. So we only got to move in 3 weeks before. Mm. So, you know, thanks to Darcy Boyce, you know, and his team, we managed to put it off.
Mm.
I thought that the tenders for party stands came out a bit late generally. For the World Cup. How do you feel about that? Do you think it should have gone out earlier to give you more time to get settled in and to accomplish everything?
Yeah, but I think these things should always go earlier and you should start earlier. But at the end of the day, it always ends up, you know, to be a rush. So luckily, we were chosen and we know how to move late. So we managed to pull it off. And it was quite successful. The issue though with us is that we were kind of cut in half because the same area that we utilized, that we normally utilize, then a temporary stand was definitely right behind us.
Mm-hmm.
But we made it work, you know. We cut by here and there, and the Indians and everyone who came, the English, everyone loved the whole pool experience, the whole beach experience on the sand. You know, the theme is something that, you know, that lends the atmosphere for people to come and have a good time, you know? So we are quite happy with that.
Mm. What's the
final question? Yeah. Talking to the individuals that came from the U.S. and other places, what other things about Barbados did they get involved in while they were here? What else caught their attention?
A lot of things caught attention. Actually, a blogger out of India came to the Partizan. He travels, he's doing 100 countries in a year.
Mm-hmm.
So he left Barbados, he went Dominica, he went all the way, spent me every day. And he was amazed, you know, with Barbados. He just loved Barbados. And he's going to blog and talk about Barbados to millions of Indians. I mean, I learned a lot about India. I didn't even know they had so many different languages, right? And they really move. And the ones who have money really move and enjoy themselves.
Mm-hmm.
I had people that went, some Indians that went to the semifinals in Guyana with a private jet, and only when India one day decided to come over to Barbados,
ooh,
you know, they called me and told them to come, you know, and I had a good time. I had a group called the Blue Army, you know, and I mean, hours after the finals, they were still in Partizan partying and stuff, and asking questions about the island and the Caribbean, you know, they wanted to go to other islands. I told them, yes, when you come to Barbados, you need to move around, check out Jamaica, check out Guyana, you know. So I think that this World Cup really exposed the Caribbean, not just Barbados, to a lot of people all over the world.
Mm. Don, did you go to the party stand, Don?
Yes, I did, but I wasn't there too long. Very enjoyable, love the music. Can I just say, the loudest music across the Caribbean at the World Cup was St. Lucia. You couldn't chat to your neighbour. The noise was immense. That left a memory with me. St. Lucia was too noisy. The party stand in Barbados, everything to do with the Kensington Oval was top draw. Well done.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Well, just before you go, though, in terms of capacity, though, I know that you said the temporary stand would have affected it. What would the numbers be in the party stand? Approximately people could hold?
Usually around the finals, it was around like 1,200.
1,200? Okay.
Which was decent, which was good. Because they don't ever want it too crowded.
Okay.
People still need to move. It's not a fact. People still need to move around. And what a lot of people don't understand is that we actually built a race area and we have shit for the people who are serious about cricket.
Okay.
A lot of people think by the company party stand I have to be in the stand, but that is not true.
Okay.
We have shade, we have the swimming pool. You know, service is our thing. So we provide top service.
Mm. And finally, of course, you're preparing up for crop over, huh?
Well, yes, but probably for itself, because of the months that we spent working on cricket, we might just be doing one or two events because you can't do that and also prepare for a band.
Mm.
So next year we will bring the band, but right now we will collab with other promoters and do events and, you know, keep the vibe going. Because it is crop over time. This is our time now. So we have to, you know, get out there and make it happen. One thing I'm very happy about is that even the local events right now are very well attended.
Yes.
Normally, you have to wait for when the tourists come in and blah, blah, but all of the local events are well attended. Mm. I think this weekend I had about 41 there, you know, and big turnout. So that is a sign, you know, that people are coming out and they're going to support crop over and the music is good. So whenever the music is good, we always have, you know, a good crop over.
Mm. How long have you been in this business now, Chetwin?
Oh, I've been in this, but you know, you want me to expose my age now. 41 years.
41 years.
Yeah, I started out at Paul's Disco. I used to run the standard school.
Right.
I used to charge $5 for people to come in and dance the Oldie Goldie.
Hmm.
Then it was 19. So I've been in it for what?
41 years. It's always a pleasure to talk to you. Good to have you on Mason and Guest. Rest your voice because you've got a lot of work to do for Crop Over. Check win.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Thank you,
guys.
Thank you very much indeed. Of course. Mason and Guest, like VOBs everywhere, we got to make sure that we touch all those lovely notes, as my good friend would say. Gentlemen, we just got another minute or so left in the show. We got just a minute. Don, can you do anything in 30 seconds? You're a 30-second man, aren't you?
Yes.
No.
I can be quiet as well.
All right. So the big test match.
It's 1 o'clock in the UK. 1 o'clock in the morning. I haven't stayed up this late since 20 years ago.
Oh, my God. Well, because of missing the guests, we want to thank you very much indeed for coming on the show. Thanks to you, fellow Wallace. Ricardo, but let's give the 30 seconds to you, Ricardo. What part of England are you? You say you're in London? Where are you now, Ricardo?
West London. It's a lovely part of the world. Extremely wet at present.
Mm.
Cold. It reminds me of my early days at boarding school in England.
Okay.
And but summer is coming.
When are you coming home? When are you coming home, Ricky? When are you coming home, Ricky?
And don't forget this book.
Yes.
Well.
Yes, that wonderful book. The sales are going well. Thank you very much indeed. It's always a pleasure to have you. Thanks to you, Don. Thanks to you, fellow Wallace. Thanks to Roland Butcher, who's going to be doing some commentaries, I'm sure, with the big boys up there making lots of money. Thanks to you, Tony Gray, a scout. Oh, my golly, thanks to you, Dr. Ford, for coming on the show. I'm Andrew Mason. It's open for a bride of all. It's good night.
Yes, if you like rum, if anybody feel they could drink with me, let them come. Open your mouth, drink it up, or you can't qualify to sing this song. Tell me, bartender, ESA is the best shot of the day. Boy, pa 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 da 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 da, pa 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 da da. Say what you want, ESA is the best shot of the day. Is the best shot of the day.